kind of hard to keep a straight face when one of the lines out of your gospel is the last thing we really want to happen today, at least in a physical sense. And that is that part where Jesus, where it says that Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." I have to laugh because, of course, we're finding out more and more that that's really the way that the virus is primarily spread, is through the particles that are in the air. They don't seem to think we're being able to catch it too much from too much that we touch or whatever, but especially it's from being in the air, and that's the reason why you all got to wear masks, and I'm this far away from you, and we're not singing much, and if you are singing, you're supposed to be singing quietly and into your mask, and it's all those reasons, because we're trying to make sure that we don't get anybody sick if we don't have to, okay? And so we're probably doing too many precautions, but hey, what the heck? At least this protects, again, those folks that are around us that might be the most vulnerable if they were to get the virus. And so we've got to kind of, in some ways, reclaim our Pentecost. We've got to reclaim some of those images because I won't be breathing on you today, okay? Although we do have certain points in our rituals and things like that where that's exactly what we do. We breathe into the chrism oil. We breathe, over the waters sometimes when we bless them. We do some of those things, but we won't be doing any of those in quite that same way for the foreseeable future. But how do we look at Pentecost? How do we see that wind and fire and breath still blows in our lives? I'm going to ask you to stop and think for a moment about sometimes when you throw something into the fire. Do you ever notice how sometimes it doesn't burn right away? It has to sit in there for a minute, and you think, well, is it going to catch fire? And all of a sudden, it reaches a certain temperature, and it gets just enough oxygen, and you hear that whoop, and then the whole thing goes up in flames. Firemen say that sometimes that's, again, when they go into a burning building and they open the door, and all of a sudden it's reached a certain temperature, and all of a sudden they open that door, and that oxygen hits. Some of the danger is that when that suddenly feeds the fire, they hear that whoomph, and when they hear that whoomph, they know that they better be taking cover because the flame is about to hit in a very powerful and striking way. And so, I believe that is still the sound of the Spirit. I believe that is still the way that the Spirit works in our lives. That somehow, our lives are like that. And that is the sound of the Spirit. When our lives somehow reach a certain boiling point, a certain temperature, and suddenly the idea or what God has been trying to get us to think about or stirring around within us does its thing, all of a sudden there's a warmth, and we go up in flames. Certainly what happened to the early church, you know? How do you think the disciples went from, being frightened and being bumbling idiots in the Gospels to suddenly being empowered by the Spirit to speak clearly and not have any fears, even knowing that their deaths might be imminent for what they were preaching about? They reached a certain point, it got enough air, and it took off in flames, and the early church wasn't afraid anymore. We stop and we look at how did they all hear each other speaking in their own language. Well, it got to the point where God needed those different languages spoken, and they needed to speak them to each other, and they figured out the way to do that. God helped them to see the way to proclaim, even sometimes when they didn't speak the same language, when they didn't have the same viewpoints. They were somehow, it got to the point in the church where it had enough temperature and enough air where finally it went up in flames. That was the early church. That was Pentecost. That was fire blowing in the church. That was the great wind of God blowing in the church. Sometimes we say, oh yeah, but that only happened so long ago. But notice it happens among us too from time to time. I stop and I think about relationships. I think about friendships or even love relationships. I mean, you know, in the sense that we'll sometimes wind up in marriage. I think about one of our students from Missouri Southern who got married the other day. Actually, two of our students from Southern. And again, it was one of those things that 5 years ago they met right before she left to continue her education elsewhere, right before he left to make sure that he was going on to, you know, finish his degrees as well. What happened in that? Well, they came together, and first they just kind of, you know, kind of moved around each other. But then eventually what happened was the temperature went up, and the relationship had enough air. And finally they heard the warmth of love bloom in their lives. And now 5 years later, they're married. They're married. Beautiful wedding in Springfield Friday night. That was the warmth in their lives. The Spirit worked in their lives. Or what about in us? Every time that we go to try to figure out how to do something, and we keep bouncing around the ideas. Well, we could do this, and I could do this, and I could do this. We keep bouncing the ideas back and forth and back and forth. And finally, one of those ideas gets a little bit more air than the other. One of those things catches fire. And then we look back later and we say, oh, that was simple. But it wasn't so simple when we were trying to discern it, was it? But once it catches fire, we never look back because we know we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. That's the fire of the Spirit. And the Spirit still continues to work in the church. I think about spontaneous forgiveness when that bursts out. When somebody just can't hang on to something anymore and they spontaneously forgive someone else for their sins. Have you ever felt the warmth of the Spirit in that moment? When suddenly you realize that this thing that's been dragging you down forever finally has given you freedom? And you know that God's in the middle of it? And I think that's what Jesus meant when he said to the early church, whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. Whose sins you retain are retained. I don't think he was telling us to be the boss of everybody or retain people's sins. I think he was saying to them, I've forgiven you yours. Can you forgive others theirs? Can you do it? Can you let it go? Can you feel that freedom? Can you feel the power of the grace of the Spirit flow in your lives that way? Because when it happens, we're free. That's the life of the Spirit. Blowing in our lives. And so I say to you today, as we kind of reclaim the breath of Pentecost, if you will, we've got to continue to give some of those things some air. I wonder how we're going to be evangelizing a year from now. I wonder what that's going to be like. What about all those people who didn't see a need for God, who didn't have a religion, who didn't have anything to hang on to? And during this time, everybody's running around going, well, what really matters? What's it all about? Can we speak a word to them? Can we evangelize from this position we're in now? Maybe not in the way that we used to think was the only way we could do it. But what about in other ways? I don't know how the church is supposed to catch fire next. But I do know, as sure as I stand here, that same Spirit that blew in the church 2,000 years ago isn't finished blowing in the church. What you and I have to do is to step back and breathe. And when we breathe, God will raise the temperature of some of the things that are going on in our lives. And then those ideas are going to get enough air. And suddenly we're going to hear that warmth of the Spirit as we burst into flame. And once again, in our lives and in the life of the church, we will know that Pentecost still is.